heart is a blue. Shoots up to the stony ground, but there's no room.
Good morning and welcome to the Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show on 1010XL Radio.
Beautiful morning.
It's Kayak Mike, Hoosier Paddler, and the mayor of Chicopee, Frank Gregg, back with us today in the studio.
Good morning, Mike. How y'all doing?
He's got his kayak pinky all straightened out, ready to go.
I tell you what, I've had a complete health, you name it, I've had it done this week or the last week. Got some good stuff, though. Guys, if you're out there in that sun a lot, you know, we all have to put that sunscreen on. They got a brand new one on the market. Neutrogena's got one that says SPF 55. Look for it. It's at all the stores. The dermatologist said this is the best stuff for you.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that sun. Don't want to get any of that melanoma going. That's bad stuff.
No. You don't want to hear that word, melanoma.
Yep.
No.
Well, hey, it's good to be here on 1010 coming at you loud and clear, man. The signal's just blazing, and we've got the hacker in the production room. Hacker, thank you for being here
duty.
This morning, brother.
And thank you for the donuts, Kayak Mike.
Oh, dog nuts always work, buddy.
You're a cheap date, Hack.
Yeah, cheap date, man. But I know he was here real late last night. We really appreciate you getting up to take care of us this morning and keep us going.
It was a big day in Jacksonville sports.
Yes, it is a big day, and, you know, we are a kayak fishing show, but we were all just floored by the release announcement.
Yep.
Well, not the release announcement of Leftwich. I guess, as Coach Del Rio said, we're here to talk about Garrard being our starter. Was that the politically correct way of putting things?
That's what he wanted to talk about. We wanted to talk about the release of Leftwich.
Yeah. Well, it's a new day. It's good to have a football team in Jacksonville.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and even better, today's first day of Gator Nation.
September 1st.
Hoosier Nation. Hey, they're gonna make a bowl game this year. I'm calling it out right now.
Yeah.
They're gonna be 7-5.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, that's all big right. Stuff. Come on now.
All right, as the Gator fans look down their noses, you know, who knows, we can have.
I want all you Gator fans out there to go to the record books and look up the head-to-head. That's the only thing we can go on with Indiana. And I think you'll see that Indiana owns the series with the Gators. Go ahead and look it up. All you guys get out there, look it up. I know you're out there. Wake up and fire up your computers and look at it. Because I think it was in 1919, I think was the year.
1919.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
We met. The only time you guys were brave enough to get up and play the mighty Hoosiers, and we willed out. I think the score was 3-0.
And that was it, huh? 1-0?
3-0. Well, the series is 1-0, yeah.
Oh,
but that's the only thing I got to go on.
Series have to have, like, more than one to make it a series?
Yeah. Not if you're on the one end of the deal.
Oh, man. Well, hey, it's been a real interesting week kayak fishing here in Jacksonville. I know we all got out. Did some inshore and some offshore, and I have to say, it's been a brutal week of catching.
Yeah, I didn't do so well when I went out the Tuesday. It wasn't one of my better days.
Yeah, you hit the inshore?
Yeah, hit the inshore at Oak Harbor, messed around.
What were you using for bait?
You know, I went out in the evening, so I always like to throw a little top water. That's my favorite thing in the evening, and I just couldn't find the fish. If you can't find a fish,
You weren't the only one. Monday, Tuesday, you know, we had this full moon cycle this week, and then we had that full lunar eclipse. Is that Monday night or Tuesday night or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just had this idea in my mind that would be my excuse.
Pretty good excuse, you know.
Everything. Because we were on the beach. You know, I tried the beach on, last Friday, last Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Really?
3 days in a row, and... See, Monday did not launch. Checked out everything from Matanzas all the way up to Mayport. Not a bit of bait. So, you know, nothing to fish in. And then Tuesday I went out again with Gary Shanklin.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided we would look at, I think we were down, we went Michler's. And it's one of those deals, you know. I get there after Gary and he calls me and he says, yeah, there's two great pods out here all spread out and everything. And I'm thinking, cool. I was like, well... Come on back to the parking lot. Let's just get rigged and get on out there. We get out there with the kayaks, and I'm like, where's the bait, Gary? He says, don't you see those? Those looks like bait over there. And I was like, So we launched anyway, you know, which is, you know, usually against the rules. You know, don't launch if you don't see bait. Especially don't launch if you don't see bait and you don't see tarpon in the bait that you don't see.
Right.
So, but we learned some new things, and we did have some good hookups. We caught some big, big old sharks.
Oh, yeah.
But so we did something new, you know, in the absence of bait. And we did see, there was a bunch of mullet is what he saw in the surf. They weren't the big variety. They were some small ones. And maybe we're just not going to see pogies. Maybe now it's time for mullet, because this is usually the time of year when it starts switching around. But, you know, we get out there, no bait, and we have our snatch rigs. But I threw a sample bag of that gulp from the tournament into my setup, thinking, well, who knows? So I snipped off little bitty pieces of the gulp and tipped my treble hooks on the snatch rig and put them down. And, man, I started hooking up whiting left and right. I'm throwing whiting and spots and croakers into my bait, you know, my bait well. And I'm thinking, well, these will work real good. I know Larry Minyard's brother caught a tarpon, dragging a couple whiting around. And I know the tarpon loves spots. So we started dragging those things all over the place. And we ended up with some big hookups, some sharks that were, you know, when you're finally you're fighting it and you realize it's a shark. And you're wondering, you know, when am I going to see this thing? How big really is it? You know,
right.
You don't know if it's one of those little 3-foot, you know,
right,
varieties, or whether it's a bigger variety. And then all of a sudden you get up and say, that's about halfway as long as my kayak. You know, about a 5.5-6-foot variety. You're like, how? That's the one we trim way up on the
river. Yeah, you just let that one go.
So, yeah, it was brutal. And then Wednesday again we tried the offshore. And looked around. We started at Hannah, and I mean, it was just, well, we started down in Ponte Vedra, then we came up to Hannah and saw just nothing. No boats out there working it, no birds, just nothing going on. And our same reports were confirmed, you know, by other charter captains all over the place. So it's just, beach was off. And the week before, you know, all of a sudden there was bait on the beach for a day or two. We had a blow. And then as quickly as it was there, it's gone. I don't know where it is. Ed Malin of Angie's, he tells me it's fertilizer in Georgia. He says that's where all the bogeys have gone. They're on the ground in Georgia.
I can't tell you where there was a bite this week, and there will be. That's this high tide. For you fly rod guys out there, the flood tides are way up toward Nassau Sound. The reds are in the up on the shores, tailing. They're in there, you know, after the fiddlers.
Has there been a good bite of the flood tide this week? I figure that must be where it is, because the full moon and the extreme tides.
That's where it's at. And by the way, I might need a little help with my fly rod fishing, guys. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll trade out a day of float fishing, Frank Gregg's School of Trout Float Fishing, for a day of fly fishing. Anybody wants to come and give me a few hints, I'll give you a few hints on the other.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to get any fly guys that want to go float fishing.
Well, you know, maybe they like to mix it up a little bit. I mean, you know, everybody's got to try it.
Not many of us that like to do both.
Really?
I don't. They're either hardcore fly guys or, I mean, there's a few of us, but you just don't hear about it. Because I like to fly fish.
Yeah.
But it's got to be the perfect conditions. And, you know, some of these guys that go out on some of these tournaments, like that first tournament day we had a few years ago when the wind was going 40 miles an hour. Out there fly fishing, there is no way. But you know, it's hard in a kayak.
It's tough.
My hat is off to those guys. They think I don't like them, but I got all the respect for those guys in the world.
Absolutely.
So that is a paranoid attitude, you know.
They do have a little bit of that,
you know.
Yeah,
they do have some of that. It's like them against the world.
But God bless them, because I'll tell you what, that is some tough fishing right there. Whew.
Now it's fun when you get hooked up. It is fun. It's like, woo! I mean, it's an adrenaline rush.
Oh, that's
like,
what it's all about.
Yeah, it is fun, because, I mean, it's so much work to get there, but when you get hooked up, it is a special feeling, but it's
a lot
of
work. We need to get someone who actually got into the high water this week, because you were probably fishing the bottom of the tide. You said you fished
late on
Tuesday, and I got out with Mudcat and JR. Was it Thursday we went out and we fished the low tide at the end of the day, thinking, you know, happy hour low tide.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
A few adult beverages and see if we caught. And we did catch. I mean, between us all, I think, you know, Mudcat probably, he had a dozen redfish, only two slotties or so. And he had a couple black drum and a couple flounders, so he definitely won the tournament. And JR, she probably had 7-8 fish, and I probably had 10 fish or so. So it was still catching, But they weren't. They just weren't quality fish. It wasn't the kind of fired up,
right,
know, bite that we'd seen the last couple of weeks on the first of incoming. And probably because they were all feeding on the high tide. They were going in there after the fiddlers,
they,
and
they were way up in the grass. They're up in that grass. Way up.
And you know, the lows weren't that low this week. With that east wind blowing, it was keeping the water in. And even though we were supposed to have pretty low lows and high highs on this cycle, the water stayed in pretty good for the creek.
Just going back to this time last year, we had a very similar type tides. And this is kind of when I, you know, when your wife goes out of town for 20 days, don't fish 18 of those 20 days. You're going to end up with trigger finger. Yeah. I caught a lot of fish,
Yak Pinky. You've got a name now.
Yak Pinky.
We
christened your syndrome.
We
there,
glossed
Frank.
You last
oh,
weekend.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. You guys are great.
So you now have Yak Pinky.
Yeah, okay. I'll take it if I can catch as many fish as I caught last year. Top water, throwing up in the grass, okay, as far as you can get a top water without getting, you know, really hung up.
On the high tide.
On the high tide, yeah. Right in Chicklepit, actually. Just working that grass line with a super spook.
Yeah.
You know? No, are you doing that out of a kayak or your boat?
No, I was doing it out of a kayak. My boat's put away for the year, guys.
Were you sight fishing them? Could you see them?
No,
or
you could see the bait.
Okay.
The bait. And when there's bait, you know, they're there.
So what kind of bait was moving at high tide
in the
grass?
Mullet. Those were mullet.
The mullet were in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what you look for, and that.
And I guess the fiddler crabs—they all dive down in those little holes once the water comes up, and reds aren't going to get to them then.
That's right. That's right. Now, well, they can. That's why they're they're up their tail, and they can usually get them when they're, you know, they're in that shallower water. And
well, I know every time I paddle by, like the army of fiddlers goes down.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, if they can sense me, you know, from a few yards away, I'm sure they can sense a redfish coming at them like a locomotive.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like the ground's moving.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you've ever had a redfish hit your kayak, that's definitely one of the funnest things that'll ever happen to you when they start going off like torpedoes, banging into the side of you.
Yeah, that is pretty
funny. Well, Judd had a funny episode, though. We're sitting there, and he had two black drum in the cooler. And he didn't have the biggest cooler behind him. And he goes, and he catches a red, and he's like, yeah, this is a dinner red, a nice 23-inch red, just about perfect eating size. And so he says, I don't know if I have room in the cooler. So, and he moves a few things out so this other fish come down a little bit. And it's one of those hard coolers, like a hard Coleman cooler, you know, with a hinge top. And he puts that red in there, and I can hear the red banging around
flopping
in that cooler,
around.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, 15 yards away, and I can hear this ruckus. Next thing you know, the pop, the top flies over.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he turns around, whap! Closes the top on it, and he's like, that fish is trying to get out of here. And I was like, yeah, you better get a bungee or something on the top of that thing.
Uh-huh.
So he starts fishing, and a couple of minutes later, next thing you hear from over there is blippity blip 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 blippity blip blip. Fish came right out of the cooler and left. Mr. Redfish has left
the
cooler.
Yeah.
It was so good. And he was like, oh, it was the moment of the whole fishing trip. I was like, that was sweet, Judd. I've never really seen that happen in person. So,
yeah, I've had him flip off my styrofoam cooler, and I have to always take bungee cords with me. I don't know, I'm just a bungee cord guy, but I've had him flip off the top and have to go retrieve the top and bungee it down. Because those things will knock it out.
Yep.
Flounder will do that. Flounder will.
Flounder will do that.
Well, hey, we're coming up on our first break. If you're awake and headed for the ramp, give us a shout at 641-1010, 641-1010. This is the Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show.
Hey, this is Jeff Loggeman for the Flanders Outdoor Show. We have now come on over to 1010XL to talk about the outdoor sports. I'm not talking about football, baseball, and basketball. Our sports include tides, moon phases, bait, hooks, ammunition, guns, and major feeding periods. The Flanders Outdoor Show is where you can get the latest hunting and fishing information. So pull up a rocking chair on the front porch of the Flanders Outdoor Show with me, Jeff Loggeman, Captain Kevin Faber, and Captain Kirk Waltz from 7 to 10 every Saturday morning right here on 1010XL.
Malibu kayaks are designed with fishermen like us in mind. They're the most stable and dry fishing kayaks on the market, and there's no substitute for being comfy and relaxed when you're out on the water. If you're paddling through the surf to target big game like tarpon or headed to the skinniest creeks to hunt tailing reds, a Malibu kayak will get you there in unrivaled comfort and convenience. All of the boats in the Malibu fleet have awesome storage options with plenty of convenient hatches, rod holders, and all the room you'll ever need for your fishing tackle and gear. And if you're a big boy like me, a Malibu Extreme or X-Factor is the ticket for you. Make sure you rig your Malibu with Crack of Dawn accessories so you're ready for fish catching action. From super comfy seats, hatches, dry bags, and leashes to kayak carts and storage systems. Come to Strike Zone Fishing at 11702 Beach Boulevard and test paddle a Malibu Extreme, X-Factor, Pro Explorer, or Mini X. Experience the ultimate in fishing kayaks and join the Malibu Navy today.
Choosing a realtor is a tough decision whether you're buying or selling, especially in today's challenging market conditions. The last thing you need is an agent that will leave you up a creek without a paddle in your real estate transaction. For professional, courteous service from listing to close, Michelle Kogan of Lifestyles Realtors brings the experience and expertise you need to get the deal done. Contact Michelle Kogan for your realty needs at 904-382-5006. That's 904-382-5006. Are you looking for a top-notch supplier of plants and trees for your landscaping needs? The David James Tree Company is where your search ends. At David James, we provide quality plants and trees to contractors, nurserymen, and homeowners at wholesale pricing direct from the growers. We specialize in larger trees and shrubs, including live oaks, magnolias, crepe myrtles, palm trees, and many more. No project is too big or too small for the David James Tree Company. Whether your application is commercial or residential, we'll deliver to your job site, holding yard, or home. Let the David James Tree Company fulfill your needs for quality plants and trees. Contact Jessica Lee at 923-1353 or email davidjamestreeco@comcast.net. That's 923-1353 or email davidjamestreeco@comcast.net.
I'm NHL Hockey Hall of Famer Pat LaFontaine. Each year, some 300,000 athletes suffer sports-related brain injuries. Too many concussions force me to retire early. The American Academy of Neurology Sports Concussion Guidelines can help you determine what to do after a major hit and when it's safe to return to the game. Evidence shows repeated concussions can cause further brain damage. Learn a lesson from me, Pat LaFontaine. Play it safe and protect your brain. Follow the American Academy of Neurology Sports Concussion Guidelines at AAN.com.
Tonight,
yeah,
has been some night cool. fishing. This was the week before it was the full moon. I know there are a bunch of guys on the site that have been out there catching the trout.
Yeah, there have. Yep. You know, it is a really unique experience paddling out there in the dark. It is pretty cool. Everybody should do it.
A lot of guys ask, well, should you fish high tide, low tide, under the lights? Of course, the best time is the high tide because the light is closer to the water, right? And it
makes sense.
Well, you're a foot closer to the sun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it brings more bait fish to that area. You got more light penetration into the water.
Yeah.
You got more bait fish, and you got more fish.
Yeah. Well, it's been pretty good. You know, guys fishing the docks down around Clapboard and all over there, and down in Palm Valley and some of those areas. It's been a pretty good bite at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to do more of that myself.
You know where there's been a good flounder bite is all the docks starting at, let's take the ferry at Mayport,
yeah,
and working your way toward the ocean. All those docks, there's a lot of docks along there, and they've been killing the flounder.
Well, now's the time. The flatty, you know, the finger mullet, the perfect size finger mullet around, and
yeah,
and the flatty bite is on pretty good. I know Mapping Mike showed us he had a personal record, a 25-inch flatty that he posted on the site that had to go 7 pounds.
Oh, yeah. That's a big
flatty. Really nice one. Hey, we got Chris calling in. Chris, good morning, and welcome to the Jack's Kayak Fishing Show.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Pretty good. How about yourself, man?
Heading to work, but other than that, not too bad.
No. Heading to work on Saturday morning.
Holiday weekend?
Well, end of the month, got to do some paperwork, so.
I hear that. What's on your mind?
Just had a couple questions. you know, I'm fairly new to the kayak fishing, and just really haven't been having a whole lot of luck catching anything. And I've been to Clapboard, and I've been to Pumpkin Hill, and down there to Salt Run and everything. And I've been fishing the incoming tide through the high tide, and I just don't know if I'm fishing at the wrong time. I mean, I've got every goddamn bait there is. I just can't get them to hit nothing.
You using real bait?
I just use live bait.
You using live bait too?
Wow.
No, I'm not.
So mostly artificials. And so what have you been throwing?
I've got mirror lures. I've got the the Catch 2000s. I've got skitter walks.
Any soft stuff?
Oh, every kind of soft bait that you got. Other than that, you know, $40 a box sparkly stuff. But.
Well, you've been using the cheap. You got to use that gulp in the baggies just to see.
Well, yeah, that's what I've been using. But I'm talking about the ones that come, in the liquid and everything.
The recharging.
Yeah, the recharging tub.
Well, Chris, you've been in some of the good spots. I mean,
or is it just luck?
Well, there's some of that too, but I would tend to recommend that you start off with the outgoing tide,
and
fish the low turn. You know, it's I know maybe it's a bad rut that I'm into, but most of the time when I go out, I want to fish that last 3 hours or so of outgoing, the dead low, and the first hour and a half or so of the incoming, and then I'm usually about done.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So that as a starter, I would shift around things if I could and get into that tide cycle.
Yeah, you want to go. Another reason you want to go at that low, you being new, is it gives you a chance to see the lay of the land. When you're out there at high tide, you're not seeing 75% of the land, that the oyster bars, the cuts, the points, the ambush points, and all that. So when you're going at high tide and you don't know that area, you're really putting yourself at a disadvantage, I feel, as far as going out for the first.
Yeah, where the bait's moving.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see all sorts of, you'll see highways where the fish will move. I mean, you'll see these oyster beds, and you'll see the cuts going through there, and you know that's where they're going. And at high tide, you're just not taking advantage of being able to see that.
Chris, you know what an eddy is, right? When the water, like Brad said, is, say, ripping around the point.
Right.
And you see that kind of backflow. Well, that's where those fish will be hiding, or that's an ambush point for them. They're waiting for the bait to get
sucked through there, basically.
Right, and they're hiding behind that. So, and work your bait slow. Give it a chance. Give those fish a chance to find it and smell it.
All right.
Particularly the gulps.
Well, yeah, that too. But another thing that if you're just having troubles getting some bites and getting things started, Chris, But why not take a little bit of live bait a couple times until you locate a couple of spots that are holding fish, and just use it as a fish finder. And then once you find some spots, then try working your artificials on them. Because, even when I'm primarily a live bait guy, and when I do catch, it's hard for me to put it down. It's kind of like, pass the bong over here.
Right, because most of the fishing that I did before was done down in Clearwater, out in the flats and stuff, and tide really wasn't that big of a factor.
It is here.
Flat, it is here.
And it's only moving a foot or two down there, whereas here, it's moving 5 feet, twice a day.
Right.
Keep in mind, too, Chris, this is, we're just coming into the best time of the year of fishing. In the summer months, June through August, early morning, your first couple, 2 or 3 hours in the morning, and late in the evening, that's when your fish are going to feed. You might as well just go home after 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right.
It's so hot. You can feel that creek water. It's like bath water.
Oh, yeah. It's 90 degrees.
And the good reports we've seen have been, abnormal.
Yeah.
This time of year, as the water cools, the trout bite's going to be on. Right now, the flounder bite is on pretty good, and the reds are still in there. But it definitely takes a little bit of getting on the right tide and finding the right structures, like HP was saying, to give yourself some more opportunities. But, it's going to happen for you. A lot of people, have that same difficulty starting up. Look at Pitpock, Andrew Mizell. Remember, he was dying. He'd been out there a month, and he's like, I'm not catching anything. Or another thing is get together with some of the people on the website that are catching or have been around some of those spots more and go out with them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a lot of people are willing to share some information and, bring some adult beverages to share with them.
Now, are you fishing the edges? Where are you? We didn't really.
Yeah, we're, well, you know, like we went to Pumpkin Hill Creek and I was fishing the main channel. Then we went all up in the little jetties, you know, and little cutouts and just anywhere I could.
Well, as you fished, let me ask you this. I've been up there a couple times. And Pumpkin Hill, you know, you work north in that creek until it makes a pretty hard turn to the west.
Okay.
All right. And if once it makes that hard turn to the west, you'll come up, there'll be a couple oyster beds that are, well, you won't see them at a high tide on your right. And as you continue west towards what's called Tiger Point, where it joins up with the main creek, you know, you'll see on your left what looks like camel humps, just tons of oyster beds over there, and it's real trouty area. You'll find reds over in there, but on a high tide, you won't see any of those humps. On an outgoing tide, you'll see them. I mean, there must be 15 or 20 of them in an area just before you get to Tiger Point. But when you get up to Tiger Point where that main channel is, I mean, it's 25, 30 feet deep. I mean, even at low tide, it's a huge body of water, and you know, to fish that, you know, effectively, you'd probably have to get one of Frank's float rigs out and float it down there and adjust it so that thing drops down 20 feet and runs down an eddy and perhaps catches a big trout in the deep water. But that's not the kind of water you'd probably be best at targeting redfish or flounder in.
All right.
You know, you'd want to be going shallower. So Pumpkin Hill, I'd say your chances are going to be a lot better in Clapboard or we're going to talk about East Chicopit Bay and the Angie's Creek of the Week here shortly coming up. And there's a couple other places I think that might be a little more productive in the near term for you.
Right. And fish like the shore 10 feet out, you know, along that area.
The drops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll catch the drops there. You'll catch the fish in shallow or ambushing bait. You don't want to throw out in the middle of a big creek and think there's going to be fish there. I mean, they just don't hold out there.
Yeah. Right. It's if you were ever to dive one of these places or look around, you know, or even in the ocean, you know, it could be a desert out there.
Chris, hot bait this summer has been this little Super Spook Junior in the trout color. Okay, it's a walk the dog bait, and that has really, really worked well for several people I know, including myself.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll be up there buying some of them today.
All right. Get on the website, on the forums, and talk to some of those guys. People more than willing to share some knowledge and help you get set up. You got an ID out there already?
Oh, yes. I'm Gator.
You are Gator. Okay. Another Gator fan, huh?
Yeah, going to the game this afternoon.
All right.
Yeah. Me and Nightfly actually work together.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought there was a guy you worked with on there.
All the guys at work think we're, you know, kayak queers are like,
hey. No, don't say that. Boy, we're freaking moron. Freaking moron. That's a...
Yeah, I haven't caught a fish, and I've already bought two kayaks, so what does that do?
There you go. You're good for the economy, that's for sure.
Chris, you're having more fun than most, buddy.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks for the call, Chris, and good luck to you, buddy. Oh, man, that was good. Well, hey, Mr. McGovern is on hold. But Jeff, can you stay with us while we go to our next break? That was a good call from Chris. And Mr. McGovern, our bug man, is on hold. I can't believe he waited until this long to call.
Oversleeping.
It's kind of late for Jeff. You feeling all right, Jeff? This is the Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show on 1010XL. Give us a shout, 641-1010. We'll be right back.
Whether you're new to kayak fishing or an experienced yak angler, Strike Zone Fishing on Beach Boulevard is the place to shop for all your kayak fishing needs. If you're shopping for a new fishing kayak, rigging your ride with the latest accessories, or looking for the perfect tackle to get hooked up, Strike Zone has the right products and knowledgeable staff to get you on the water and on the fish. Check out Strike Zone's kayak showroom and test drive the best fishing kayaks in town. After finding the one that's right for you, let Strike Zone's friendly staff rig your kayak from their huge selection of paddles, seats, rod holders, and safety equipment. Finish up with the finest tackle and equipment at Strike Zone's everyday low prices, and you'll see why Strike Zone Fishing is Jacksonville's kayak fishing headquarters. Come and shop for Malibu, Heritage, Emotion, Ocean, and Old Town Kayaks at Strike Zone Fishing at 11702 Beach Boulevard near the 9A interchange. Look for the big blue marlin. You can't miss it.
This is Captain Vaughn Cochran of Black Fly Outfitter. Did you ever think about taking up fly fishing? Blackfly Outfitter is the home of friendly service, expert advice, the Vaughn Cochran Marine Art Gallery, and free fly casting lessons for life. We'll show you how to tie the knots and tie the flies. Plus, we offer hosted fly fishing trips to our favorite spots around the world. Come to one of Blackfly Outfitter's two stores, in historic St. Augustine on Avalee Street, or in Jacksonville at Beach Boulevard and 9A in the Strike Zone Fishing Center.
This is Brett Hastings, wondering how you define personal injury. Is it a broken leg, a permanent scar or a head injury, or even the loss of a loved one's life? Personal injury in its very broadest definition is a key practice area of Resnicek, Frazier & Hastings, the beach's full-service law firm. You can count on us to apply our years of personal injury and trial experience to your unique situation. Call us at 904-567-1060 or check us out on the web at rfhlaw.com.
Everyone I know shops at West Marine because West Marine has everything for boating and fishing. They've got those hard-to-find parts that make your kayak setup just right. Quality electronics, fishing tackle, and now West Marine has stepped it up. They're making kayak fishing more fun by carrying premier fishing kayaks and accessories. Check out their great boats like the Perception Search Angler and the Mainstream Kingfish. Seats, paddles, and rod holders from Harmony, Seattle Sports, and Scotty. West Marine has the electronics perfect for kayak fishing, like handheld and fixed-mouth GPSs, fish finders, and VHF radios from Garmin, Humminbird, and Icom. They'll help you find what you need and put it all together to get you ready to catch. West Marine, in Jacksonville on Blandy, Roosevelt, University Boulevard, and two stores on Beach, US 1 in St. Augustine, and A1A in Fernandina Beach. West Marine, making kayak fishing more fun.
If there was an emergency, would your family have enough water and non-perishable food to last 3 days? We asked families across the country. Here are some of their answers.
We usually eat fresh food daily.
In the pantry, we have canned tomatoes.
It's really not survival food, tomato paste.
The brand of dog food that I do purchase are edible by humans.
Is your plan any better? To learn more about making an emergency plan for your family, go to ready.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show in a very small galaxy, long way away.
In a small creek.
In a very small creek.
Eons ago.
One Jeff McGovern was known to be kayak fishing. And here he is from the potato patch, Jeff McGovern.
Darth Yacker.
Darth Yacker.
I love it. Oh, you guys are getting better every weekend.
Let's Hacker in the production suite making us sound better, man.
Oh, I am impressed. I am impressed. I tell you, I wrote a little piece on my Disney adventure last week.
Yeah, your favorite lightsaber?
Oh, you know, we have got to convince Disney that kayaks need to be made available down there at that property.
We're actually already discussing such a thing, Jeff.
Well, I hope so, because, you know, they're pretty adamant about preserving the environment and all that kind of thing. And my thought is, well, you know, outboard motors and all that running all over that lake, that can't be as much good for that lake as a whole bunch of nice, clean kayaks can.
Yeah. Well, we're chatting with some people, you know. It's like trying to deal with the government. Disney is a pretty big corporation.
That is the government there.
But we're talking to some people at Bass and some other places trying to get something set up. And there are some issues that they have with people. They don't like people to be in the water there. And so,
right, yeah. You know, well, that's like California. You know, when I fish out in California with some of the guys out there, the fishing event starts out, you arrive and get in line. And if you're more than about 20 cars back, you set up a grill. And then by 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and mind you, these lakes close at 6, you could get an hour of fishing in. And, of course, that's after a day of drinking beer and barbecuing while you're in line.
That's beautiful. Wow. That's California lifestyle for you right there, buddy.
No, you betcha. But, I mean, I've seen that enough times out there to know that that is truly their fishing experience, which is why a lot of them turn to the kayaks. Because with the kayaks, they can go to places and launch, and nobody bothers them. But everybody else with the speedboats, you know, they only allow so many boats on so many lakes, and that's it. And there's a lot of places where they have people watching to make sure your body does not touch the water.
Yeah, well, and that's also because of what's in the water.
Well, that's true.
There's some bad mojo in the water that they don't want you to have on you, and then they would be liable for it.
Yeah, and that's, well, of course, and with the liability issues and things in California, that's a whole different issue.
Yeah, so, hey, where are you at today?
Well, actually, I'm ready to go. I was going to go over to my usual place at 206, but I kept looking up at the sky, and the lights kept coming on, and there's just something about sitting out there with a 7-foot lightning rod that I'm a little bit leery about.
Are we looking like we got a little bit of rain happening right now?
Yeah.
Well, that's what it was rumbling a little bit around Palatka. There are flashes in the sky, and as cautious as I am about lightning sitting out in the middle of in water someplace, you know, I don't go out unless I know it's not going to be lightning, because it just, all it takes is one strike and it just ruins your day, and besides that, it melts the kayak.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Have you had that problem before?
Yeah, I've seen a picture of a graphite rod that got hit by lightning, and it looked crazy. I mean, it looked like steel wool exploded.
I've got one friend of mine that happened to out on Mosquito Lagoon about 10 years ago, and the fishing pole, he has it in his office, and it looks like just a bunch of hair.
Yeah.
But I don't want that to happen to me. So today I'm a little bit hesitant, but I'm ready to go if it clears up a little bit.
Well, what do you say if you could help us through HP's giving me these crazy hand signals.
Crazy hand signals? Yeah. What?
It's a tick I have.
It's a crazy nervous tick he has, and you know, it's happening right now in the studio. It's a good thing that you can only hear him.
Yeah.
You can't see him.
Well, there's a lot of reasons it's only good you can hear.
I was
going
to ask you to take us through where you're going to be fishing the rest of the weekend. You're just going to hit 206? I mean, you got Labor Day weekend. You got a couple days of, you know, you got some good early morning tides coming up Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, I may go over to Princess Place, because that's actually the same distance for me as to run over to 206. You guys do the campouts every year?
Yeah.
Is this Jeff McGovern?
Yeah,
guy says he's going to fish somewhere other than
Darth Yacker.
Well, the thing is, you know, it's okay. I mean, okay, and the thing is, it's just I have to take a different kayak. I've got two W boats, so one of them it only knows about 206. The other one's actually been to Princess Place. I'll take that one, and they don't talk to each other anyway, so I'm not going to be found out.
That's good, Jeff. That's great, man. Well, we hope you get out, bud, and, you know, as always, we appreciate you calling. We'll get some better music for you next week.
Well, you know, you guys just keep it up, because I'm just waiting for the day when we're going to have the TV show version of this.
Well, speaking of that, Jeff,
coming.
This Thursday on the Chevy Fishing Report on Sun Sports, they are doing a kayak fishing show. You know, Rick Murphy and company on that show, they go through the whole state for an hour and a half getting reports on everything. And yours truly and Jeff Suber and another guide from the state are going to be on there with our kayaks, showing them off, and helping to contribute to the report this week.
That'll work. And then, and after that, I want to see the sitcom.
The sitcom?
Yeah.
Just come to the studio. You can see it.
Well, we got the yak pinky, and we've got enough things going on here that you've got the two yaks that won't talk to each other, Jeff.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, we're
my three guys
into the show, and shortly thereafter, we'll do the feature film. You know, it all kind of rolls along.
Ah, there you go. Well, hey, Jeff, you have a good morning. I hope the lightning backs off and lets you get out there, buddy.
Yeah, you guys take care. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks for the call, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, all the weather reports I'm seeing and hearing are saying it's going to be on and off, and there's going to be some storms rolling through all weekend. Last time I looked.
Well, hey, let's talk Creek of the Week. The Angie's Creek of the Week, brought to you by Angie's Subs in Jacksonville Beach, Penman and Beach Boulevard. You know, we come for the food, but
stay for
the scenery, and because the food was good. And Ed Malin and his crew at Angie's do a great job. We'll probably be having the next Jack's Kayak Fishing Happy Hour there. We're looking at September 13th for that date.
I'm still laughing at Ed's pogey theory.
Oh, yeah, Ed telling us that the pogies are all fertilizer in Georgia. You may be right. But let's talk, HP, you're talking about, let's bring up East Chicopit.
Yeah, East Chicopit, it's right before you get into Mayport. You come off of A1A right before you're going to the ferry.
The little place that floods right on the road, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, the little place, yeah, a little dip in the road, that'll flood. There's a couple launches, a couple ways to get to East Chicopit. You can launch at Little Jetties Park. You do want to be careful, because that launch there at low tide becomes mud, and you will get stuck out there.
Yeah. Okay, so about, what do you say, about a 2 hours around low tide?
Yeah, I would give yourself that, because that area, as you look to that left, it looks like it's full of water, but it's not but a couple feet deep there, even at a good tide. You know, it's not very deep there.
And plus, that's not the, you know, where you want to be at the low tide anyway.
There's some nice, you don't want to be there at low tide, but there's some nice oyster bars right there off that, right off that launch at a decent tide where the redfish will get up in there and root around. From that launch, you can get a lot of places. East Chicopee opens up to the ICW. You can go across to West Chicopee. You can go down Pablo Creek, down to Sherman's Creek. You can actually launch in Sherman's Creek and come up Sherman's Creek and make the paddle over to East Chicopee. You can get to Boathouse Creek. You can get to a lot of places from that launch.
Yep, and then there's the Hidden Creek that Frank was telling us about.
Yeah, that Hidden Creek, the one that's real close to A1A there. I've caught, I don't know how many redfish there, top water early morning. It makes a little bend, and you follow that bank around and work that bank. You can throw spinner baits up in the grass. There's just a lot of oysters in there. That's some great redfish.
I've caught everything in East Chicopee. It was one of my favorite haunts when John Yaks Jackson and I were doing a lot of fishing a few years ago. And we would go to that launch in at Little Jetties Park and slide in there and work those banks. And there's like a channel that works along, if you look at the north edge on a map of this whole area, there's a channel, as well as there's a channel along surrounding that island over there on the west edge of things.
Look for that big tower, the big wooden, there's a wooden tower right on that
the
one.
The water tower, that one's...
And that area right in there along those banks, that's real good flounder fishing in there, and trout fishing.
Yeah, you can catch them all. I fished the last tournament there, and I caught a slam there.
You got a slam in that area?
Yeah. There's a lot of different areas, and a lot, you know, it holds a lot of different type of fish. So
some of the biggest trout I've ever caught on top water I've caught right in that area, right there.
Well, you know, you'll see that little island in the very middle of everything, and it looks real attractive. And, you know, I've never really had much luck right around that island, because it really does go to mud all around that thing.
It does. But on that one bank, you know, I've showed you on the map where the oysters, that water drops off to about 15 to 20 feet in there.
Yep.
And those trout like to hang on in that.
Now, that's down towards the little towers that you see.
That's correct.
And we're not talking about the big landing tower that's lit up and everything. We're talking about a little wooden tower that is pretty due southwest of from where you launched.
Right.
Right on the channel down to Pablo Creek, which is a little piece of water that connects you up to Sherman Creek into an area that we call the Horseshoe in there, which is another nice area to fish. It's a flat that's got some nice oyster beds around the edges on it. You know, at dead low, you can still navigate a lot of that in a kayak.
Yeah.
And before the low, it's very productive.
There's a lot of little creeks that come out right in that area, too. And, you know, we were talking to Chris earlier, and he hasn't been having a lot of luck. You know, the best thing to get is go grab yourself a dozen mud minnows. You know, they always work for flounder.
Yeah.
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 Well, and the finger mullet that's out there now, there's
of course, if you can
everywhere I've been, it's been real easy to park the yak, get out with my 3-foot cast net, and I've still been getting the nicest little finger mullet, which the flatties are
I'm telling you, I've never seen so much bait in all my life. I think I've seen more bait this year in our creek than I have in many years, so there's a lot of bait.
Yeah, it's really, and it moves out. You know, that's what's amazing is you're sitting there in an outgoing tide, and it's just moving out, and they're like sheets of bait in each chicken
pen.
Yep.
So that is our Angie's Creek of the Week, East Chicopee Bay. You've got your launches in Little Jetties Park and right off of Mayport Road at the Sherman Creek Bridge. Make sure you stay on the proper side of that bridge, or you may be talking to the magistrate over at the Naval Base.
Escorted.
You know, old Homeland Security. Look carefully around the bridges for the signs. So stay on the proper side of the law in that area. And it's right down the street from B&M Bait and Tackle. And it's just a great place to fish.
Yeah, it's
you can take, just go out with the outgoing tide right there.
Yeah,
come up, you know, paddle out. There's a little beach before you get to the little jetties. You can pull up on right there.
Part
of Little Jetties Park.
Plenty of hard bottom.
Yeah. And then come on back in with the incoming.
Yep. And if you're gonna fish the rocks themselves, the little jetties, make sure you're equipped to do that. If you're a new paddler, you don't belong out there on the rocks themselves. The current can be very swift. You know, that's a place I will go on the dead low at the slack. When the tide slacks, you know, and things kind of turn off a little bit, I'll go over there and play around the rocks because the current's not too bad at that time. and see if you can catch some trout or something like that. And you'll see people, you know, looking for bull reds there. But that's the Angie's Creek of the Week. Angie, brought to you by Angie Subs, Beach Boulevard and Penman Road. This is the Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show. Working into our final break. Give us a shout at 641-1010. We'll be right back.
My boat. Rock my boat. Cause I don't want my boat to be rocking.
Hey, this is Captain Kevin Faber from the Flanders Outdoor Show. We have now come on over to 1010XL to talk about the outdoor sports, and I'm not talking about football, baseball, and basketball. Our sports include tides, moon phases, bait, hooks, ammunition, guns, and major feeding periods. The Flanders Outdoor Show is where you can get the latest hunting and fishing information. So pull up a rocking chair on the front porch of the Flanders Outdoor Show with me, Captain Kevin Faber, Jeff Loggeman, and Captain Kirk Waltz from 7 to 10 every Saturday morning right here on 1010XL.
Choosing a realtor is a tough decision whether you're buying or selling, especially in today's challenging market conditions. The last thing you need is an agent that will leave you up a creek without a paddle in your real estate transaction. For professional, courteous service from listing to close, Michelle Kogan of Lifestyles Realtors brings the experience and expertise you need to get the deal done. Contact Michelle Kogan for your realty needs at 904-382-5006. That's 904-382-5006. Are you looking for a top-notch supplier of plants and trees for your landscaping needs? The David James Tree Company is where your search ends. At David James, we provide quality plants and trees to contractors, nurserymen, and homeowners at wholesale pricing direct from the growers. We specialize in larger trees and shrubs, including live oaks, magnolias, crepe myrtles, palm trees, and many more. No project is too big or too small for the David James Tree Company. Whether your application is commercial or residential, we'll deliver to your job site, holding yard, or home. Let the David James Tree Company fulfill your needs for quality plants and trees. Contact Jessica Lee at 923-1353 or email davidjamestreeco@comcast.net. That's 923-1353 or email davidjamestreeco@comcast.net.
It's my first day to be a big brother. Maybe I'll take him to a movie. No, not big enough. I'll take him to a carnival. Yeah, we can go on a Ferris wheel. It's got to be big. It's got to be huge.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Hey, Alex. I'm Felipe. What do you want to do today?
I was thinking maybe watch the game on TV.
Yeah, cool. I was thinking that too.
When you're a mentor, it doesn't matter what you do. The important thing is spending time together. To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Ad Council.
Energy hog to team. I want you to infiltrate the house and waste some energy.
We'll just sneak into these leaky windows.
It just like we thought, boss. No insulation in the attic.
Perfect. Now go wild and waste some wattage.
The Mitchell House. A house like many others, except this one's under attack by energy hogs. They show up anywhere energy's being wasted.
Talk to me, hogs.
The washer, it's not Energy Star rated.
Outstanding. What about the thermostat?
Not programmable. I repeat, not programmable.
Looks like we're living high on the hog.
Only one person has the power to get rid of energy hogs. You.
Hold on. Someone's home.
And he's got energy-efficient light bulb.
To find out how you can fight energy hogs, log on to energyhog.org. You'll find fun games and lots of tips on making your home more energy efficient.
Now he's installing Energy Star appliances.
Not Energy Star. That's it. Get out of there. I'll get you, energyhog.org.
Hey, wait for me.
Brought to you by the Alliance to Save Energy, the Department of Energy, and the Ad Council.
Can you feel it, HB?
No, I can feel it. I feel it. I hear it. I see it. I can't get away from it.
On the Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show.
Go, Gator!
My old brother went to Florida, so I'm not a hater.
It's awesome.
It's good to be a Gator.
Get up and go! Yeah.
I don't know. That music sounds like a carnival ride to me.
Oh, man. There's nothing like being in the swamp with 90,000 people.
I'll give you that. That's pretty cool.
Going off, I've been there.
That's fun.
Nothing like it.
We're a little excited that it's Gator Mania. Hacker, I'm impressed, man. All I have to do is think of something, and you're playing it in there.
Yeah, I'm incredibly smart.
Oh, man, or something.
Right, yeah.
So HP, we've got a little community service event coming up for the kayak fishing group.
Yeah, we got a launch cleanup going on September 15th. It's really the 22nd annual intercoastal cleanup, and it's coordinated by the Ocean Conservancy, and the city has gotten involved with the Clean It Up, Green It Up program. And we've always tried to organize one of these things, because one of the things you know about kayakers is we like to kind of give back a little bit. We've always been trying to figure, we got all these launches, and these launches just get trashed. People just come there and they fish and leave all their garbage. And I mean, I've seen weight sets.
Not kayak fishermen.
Not kayak fishermen, but guys off the bank, and they, you know, they leave lawn chairs, anything that breaks down, they're leaving coolers, whatever. And so we've always tried to organize a cleanup day, and for whatever reason, we've never been able to get it. We've almost had it done. But we'll lose our dumpster or lose the date because of a football. I mean, there are just all sorts of reasons we've lost, can't get things together. But on the 15th of September, we're going to have a launch cleanup day. With the city's going to provide us trash bags and gloves, and they're going to come by and pick up the trash, which was always the biggest issue, is what we're going to do with all this stuff once we clean it up. But we've picked out some launches, Browns Creek, White Shell area, the Hallover Creek and Sherman's Creek, and we're going to get together on 2 weeks from today on September 15th and have a little cleanup for a couple hours. It won't take long, with, you know, six or seven guys in each site, and bag up as much trash as we can, have the city come pick it up, and do our payback the marsh a little bit.
Yeah, well, I like those selections, HP. Those are good ideas, because those creeks, those launches are not official city ramps.
Right.
They get attention from the Park Service and have their trash taken out. And these are the places where, you know, when we launch, you see all that stuff and you're like, you know.
Of course, you guys are probably going to go fishing after you do all this cleanup.
Yeah,
right?
I think there's going to be some of that going on for sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the deal, is to come and clean up for a couple hours and then let's get together and fish for a couple hours and just have a fun day out of it and give back a little bit. The city has got a number of other spots that they're cleaning up that they're sponsoring, and some of them are the boat ramps around. So that's why we're hitting spots that we use that, you know, the city's just not going to get to.
Well, that's a great idea, HP. And anyone who wants to get involved with this and get their name on the list, what do they do?
They're going to go out to jackskayakfishing.com, and on the forum pages, there's a link to a thread. And it's called September 15th Launch Cleanup. Volunteers needed. Just go out there and leave a message, and I'll get with you and put you on a team. We're kind of dividing them up equally between all the creek areas and the launches. And should be fun. It's a great group of guys. It's not going to be all work. I'm sure we're going to have some laughs. And
well, we ought to put a little competitive edge in this thing. You know what we need is some kind of way to weigh how much trash each group comes with, and you know, maybe we could serve up some Jack's Kayak Fishing t-shirts for the group that does the best.
I've been thinking about that and how to do that and get that done.
I think you guys have to keep track of it.
Or go by number of bags or something like that, yeah. You know, and have we got different captains for each
location?
Yeah,
we have a site captain for each location who's, I mean, the site captain's just going to be a guy that I can get to and get the bags to and all the stuff, and he's going to organize the people and just kind of be responsible for that area. So, yeah, maybe we can have a photo release tournament on trash bags.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Whoever has the biggest stack of bags, you know, and the picture of that and the group in front of it, you know, should be the winning group. I'd promote that.
All right. Well, we'll pull something together here. We got 2 weeks, but we're real excited about it because, you know, like I said, it's been something we've been trying to do for 2 years, and now we're finally going to pull it off and be part of a bigger program. And, you know, it's going to benefit everybody that uses those sites. And hopefully people will see that they're cleaned up and think about what they're doing before they start trashing them out again.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is, you know, if you're fishing and launching on these places, it's always a good thing, you know, pick up something while you're there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I mean, just don't step around at all. Just, you know, if they're, you know, at those places it's a little more difficult because you don't necessarily have a trash can to throw something in.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, is that if we could get the city to, you know, leave a trash barrel there, you know, and do a pickup every once in a while, that would definitely help. It's not going to alleviate everything because, you know, like, trash barrels can't hold broken down weight benches and you know, lawn chairs and church pews.
Yeah.
And sofas and everything else.
Well, that sounds great. The launch cleanup day. You guys got some plans to do some fishing this week? We got Labor Day weekend. We've got some low tides, especially Sunday, Monday. Mm.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, I had my eye on that Sunday, Monday, early morning low tide. And actually, the afternoon.
Paddle in the dark, bro.
I still got stitches in my hand. My wife goes up, buys me a plastic glove, slides over my hand. I'm going to tape that sucker up. I'm going fishing, guys.
She's trying to get rid of you.
You know, that plastic glove comment we heard on the way back from a break, if anyone was wondering what we were talking about. it was how to get Frank fishing, not what the next doctor appointment was going to be. Hey, guys, it's been a good morning.
Yeah, it has been. Really
enjoyed
cool.
the show, yep. And let's say hey to our sponsors on Florida Gator Saturday. Thank you, West Marine, David James Tree Company, Angie Subs, our Creek of the Week sponsor, Lifestyles Realtors, Black Fly Outfitter, our fly fishing headquarters, which Frank will be visiting quite a bit, and kayak fishing headquarters of Jacksonville, Florida, Strike Zone Fishing on Beach Boulevard. They are always good to us at Strike Zone.
What is this?
You got that.
You don't recognize this?
No, how can I not? I live in Jacksonville. How can I not recognize this?
Florida.
We are the boys.
I will not sing on the radio.
Don't give up your day
job. We are the boys of Florida.
Man, that is a boring song.
Oh, it is not. It's the way we end every Gator meeting, and it's the song at every game at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and everyone sings, HP. It's school spirit.
I guess you got to get tired of listening to that carnival music.
Golly. Well, if y'all don't hear Hoosier Paddler next week, you know why? This is the Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show, and we're wishing you a great Labor Day weekend. The Outdoor Show, the Flanders Outdoor Show, is coming up next with Jeff Loggeman, Captain Kirk Waltz, and Captain Kevin Favor. Y'all have a great weekend, and let's go fishing.
Go fishing.
Go fishing.
Whether you're new to kayak fishing or an experienced yak angler, Strike Zone Fishing on Beach Boulevard is the place to shop for all your kayak fishing needs. If you're shopping for a new fishing kayak, rigging your ride with the latest accessories, or looking for the perfect tackle to get hooked up, Strike Zone has the right products and knowledgeable staff to get you on the water and on the fish. Check out Strike Zone's kayak showroom and test drive the best fishing kayaks in town. After finding the one that's right for you, let Strike Zone's friendly staff rig your kayak from their huge selection of paddles, seats, rod holders, and safety equipment. Finish up with the finest tackle and equipment at Strike Zone's everyday low prices, and you'll see why Strike Zone Fishing is Jacksonville's kayak fishing headquarters. Come and shop for Malibu, Heritage, Emotion, Ocean, and Old Town Kayaks at Strike Zone Fishing at 11702 Beach Boulevard near the 9A interchange. Look for the big blue marlin. You can't miss it.
This is Captain Vaughn Cochran of Black Fly Outfitter. Did you ever think about taking up fly fishing? Black Fly Outfitter is the home of friendly service, expert advice, the Vaughn Cochran Marine Art Gallery, and free fly casting lessons for life. We'll show you how to tie the knots and tie the flies. Plus, we offer hosted fly fishing trips to our favorite spots around the world. Come to one of Black Fly Outfitter's two stores, in historic St. Augustine on Avalee Street, or in Jacksonville at Beach Boulevard and 9A in the Strike Zone Fishing Center.
Jacksonville Sports Radio 1010XL is WJXL, Jacksonville Beach, your home for Sports Final Radio, weekdays 6 to 10.
Energy Hog to Team, I want you to infiltrate the house and waste some energy.
We'll just sneak into these leaky windows.
It just hit me flat, boss. No insulation in the attic.
Perfect. Now go wild and waste some wattage.
The Mitchell House, a house like many others, except this one's under attack by energy hogs. They show up anywhere energy is being wasted.
Talk to me, hogs.
The washer, it's not Energy Star rated.
Outstanding. What about the thermostat?
Not programmable. I repeat, not programmable.
Looks like we're living high on the hog.
Only one person has the power to get rid of energy hogs. You.
Hold on. Someone's home.
And he's got energy efficient light bulb.
To find out how you can fight energy hogs, log on to energyhog.org. You'll find fun games and lots of tips on making your home more energy.